What was the command in one of the wars? Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Good morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, before reading, I want to explain just briefly where I intend to go. When we examine the Word of God, we find there are only two classes of people. And those two classes are saved and lost. We could turn to many scriptures that would indicate these two positions. He that believeth on him, Christ, is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Only two classes of people. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Now this morning I want us to think about two federal heads. The first is Adam, and the second and last is Christ. Two federal heads. And here again we could turn to different portions of Scripture that would indicate that not only are there two classes of people, or at least people in two different positions, those who are saved, those who are lost, but we could turn to other Scriptures that would indicate that these people are moving to eternity. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus spoke about there being only two ways out of this life. And here we think of these two positions, these two conditions. The Lord Jesus spoke of two ways out of this life. He spoke about the broad way that leads downward to eternal destruction, eternal separation from God, eternal damnation. And the Lord Jesus spoke about the upward way. It is a narrow way. It has a straight gate. And the Lord Jesus said, many are on the broad way going downward, and few are on the narrow way going upward. So here, we see brought to our minds as we examine the Scriptures, these two columns of people. Two columns of people. And I want us to think about that this morning as we think about our position and our condition. Two columns of people. Two federal heads leading both columns. And we read of these two columns and these two federal heads in these scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And here is one verse that gives to us these two federal heads, the two different positions, and the two different conditions. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But come on over the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam. Now here is one of those titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just pause to say that here the first federal head is mentioned, Adam. And the last federal head is mentioned, he is Christ, and here he's spoken of as the last Adam. Why this title? Well, it indicates that there are no more federal heads to come. Adam, the first man, and the last Adam, Christ. Only those two federal heads. No more federal heads to come. That is the reason Christ is spoken of as the last Adam. No others. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Come on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man, and here again this is a generic word, it means any one of mankind, male or female. Therefore, if any person, any one of humanity be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I believe Adam was saved. I believe the fact that he and Eve were clothed upon with the skins of animals after they sinned and saw their nakedness, I believe that would indicate that they were saved. The Bible tells us without shedding of blood is no remission of sins, no forgiveness. That's Hebrews 9:22. And so such a portion as we have back in Genesis that they were clothed upon with the skins of animals would indicate that sacrifices had been made. And they were clothed with the skins of the animals. I believe Adam was saved. But still, this terminology is used to indicate that those of humanity are either in this one column, of which Adam was the head, or in the other column, of which Christ is the head. You're either in one or the other. One chorus goes, I thought maybe it would have been in this songbook, I did not see it, saved or lost, one or the other you must be. And that is so true. And so the Bible speaks of either being in Adam and being spiritually dead, or being in Christ and being made alive. So think of these two columns of humanity moving across the stage of time. One is going downward to a lost eternity, the other one is going upward to everlasting life. It is interesting, too, when we examine the New Testament scriptures, we find a particular word. It appears four times in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 3 and in Acts chapter 5. That word that I'm thinking of is brought over into the English, prince, speaking of Christ. He is a prince and a savior. So that word is rendered prince twice, Acts 3 and Acts 5. In Hebrews chapter 2, that same Greek word is rendered captain, where it speaks of Christ as the captain of our salvation. That means he's the head. He leads the column. And this particular word is found one other time in the New Testament, and it is in Hebrews chapter 12, where we are told, as we run the race that is set before us, let us look unto Jesus, the author, and finish your faith. The word author. It's the same word as prince or as captain. It means he's the file leader. He heads the column. And so the Bible speaks of being saved or lost, either in Christ, being saved, or in Adam and lost. You're either in the column of the redeemed, or you're in the column of those who are lost. Now, in which column are you this morning? I know some here, it would be wonderful if everyone were able to say it, but I know there are some here who are able to say, I am in Christ. I was in Adam before I was saved, but I rejoice in this verse that we have read together. Therefore, if any man, any one of mankind be in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is wonderful to be in Christ. It is wonderful to be saved. So you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You are either on your way to a lost eternity or you're saved. One or the other, you must be as the course goes. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Once again, we read from it last week. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The one who heads this spiritual column is the one who died for all mankind, that we might be removed from the one over to the other. Come down to verse 12, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, this is Adam, the one who heads this column of lost humanity, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we think of this column on the broad road headed for a lost eternity, heading for judgment and damnation. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The first question God asked man in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. You need not turn there. Here is the first question that God asked man. Where art thou? The first question that man asked of God in the New Testament is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. When the wise men came from the east asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, dear friends, I want you to think about these two questions. Think about these two columns and the way in which you answer these two questions will determine whether or not you're taken from the one column headed for a lost eternity and placed into the other column heading upward to everlasting life. The way you answer these two questions. And in thinking of these two questions, I want us to apply these questions to ourselves. That is, God would ask of you this morning, where are you? Where are you? My dear friend, think of that question. Where do you stand spiritually this morning? I've heard of a number of funerals since being here in the Bahamas this visit. We were pointing out somewhere along the line in the course of sharing some thoughts that every day, well over 100,000 people in the world go out into eternity. Every day. And so we should think about this. Now, where are you? Where do you stand spiritually? Would you have to confess? Well, I'm still in Adam. Thinking of these scriptures that you have read, I'm still in Adam. I'm unsaved. I'm on that broad road that's heading downward to eternal destruction. I'd have to confess that's where I am. Now, if you're able to say, well, that was my condition, but I received Christ as my Savior, and I praise God today that I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. And I'm on the upward way. It's wonderful to be saved. But where are you this morning? As we examine Scripture, we find that Scripture has much to say about those in the one column on that downward road. For example, the Word of God indicates that you, if you're in this first column, are in the place of waywardness. In the place of waywardness. Isaiah 53, verse 6, for example. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And this is true not only of the nation of Israel, as it applies more directly there in Isaiah chapter 53, but it's true of all humanity. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 3, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, my dear friend, if you are without Christ as your Savior this morning,
You're in this one column, you're in Adam, and even though Adam was saved, he was the one who made that column possible. Because when he sinned and disobeyed God, death passed upon all men, we read in Romans chapter 5. So the Bible still speaks of being in Adam or in Christ. And if you would have to confess this morning that your position is in Adam, then your condition is that of waywardness. You're in the place of waywardness. And in thinking of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, we have our deplorable condition. All we like sheep have gone astray. Our despairing confusion. We've turned everyone to his own way. And our divine correction. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if you're without Christ, you're in the place of waywardness. If you're without Christ, you're in the place of weakness. We read it in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The place of weakness. It indicates that being in that condition, there is absolutely nothing you can do of yourself to save yourself. You're without strength. You have no power whatsoever to save yourself. Oh my, but we listen to some today. And we hear such confusing sounds in the religious world. The Bible says you have no strength to save yourself. We must rely on the arm of another. And Isaiah speaks of that arm too, does he not, in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's God's arm that makes possible our salvation. But without Christ, we're in the place of weakness, without strength. And this is kind of strong, but without Christ, you're in the place of worthlessness. That really needs to be qualified, but I put it here. Without Christ, we're in the place of worthlessness. What do I mean by that? Let me go back to Romans chapter 3. And verses 10 through 12. And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's the word. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that word unprofitable is used in the sense of something completely bad, like rotten fruit, something irrevocably bad, therefore useless. We wonder what God saw in us to save us, but we are made to realize in the study of the Word that His name, His honor, His glory was at stake concerning bringing about a plan of salvation for lost humanity. You understand that, don't you? You see, Satan came in and spoiled what God had made. Now, if God did not overrule in that, if God did not bring about a plan of salvation that would so overcome and undo Satan, then God stands at a loss. God made something that Satan spoiled and God wasn't able to do anything about it. This is the reason Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. But without Christ, you're in that place of waywardness, you're in that place of weakness, you're in that place of worthlessness. The picture's not good, is it? But I'm giving to you the teaching of the Word of God. And I think you know this. I think you know this. I think you realize this point, that without Christ, you're in that place of weariness. Oh, there is pleasure in sin. The Bible states that, and we know it from experience. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And increasingly, sin becomes a heavy burden. And the closer we get to eternity, the closer we get to going out of this life, the more of a burden sin becomes. And like John Bunyan said in Pilgrim's Progress, if you do not rid yourself, I say rid yourself, it's only through Christ, but if you do not get rid of that heavy burden that is upon you, John Bunyan said, that burden will sink you down into Tophet. That is the word he used, another word for hell. That heavy burden will sink you down into hell. But the Lord Jesus said, this is in Matthew chapter 11, is it? Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And it is when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ saying, oh God, I want to be saved. I want to get out of this column heading down to a lost eternity, eternal doom and damnation. I want to be saved. I want to go on the upward road. And when you cry out to God for salvation and by faith receive Christ as your Savior, all of your sins are removed. As far as the east is from the west. And you're placed in Christ. Saved. You're in the place of weariness without Christ. And apart from Christ, you are in the place of wretchedness. Paul used that expression. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am. And apart from Christ, you're wretched. And without Christ, you are in that place of condemnation, or the place of wrath. The place of wrath. I read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one, the judgment was by one to condemnation. Because of Adam's transgression, because of the one who heads this column, because of his transgression, death is passed upon all men, the entire column. And death by sin, so death is passed upon all men. Condemnation passed upon all in this column. So without Christ, you are in that place of waywardness. You're in that place of weakness. You're in that place of worthlessness. You're in that place of weariness. You're in that place of wretchedness. And you're in that place of wrath. The wrath of God abideth on you. But now listen to this. This is John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son. And let me pause to say that word believeth means more than simply giving mental assent to an historical Jesus. Have you asked me before I became a Christian, the latter part of 1954, Do you believe in Jesus? I would have said, yes, I believe in Jesus. From a Jewish background, but I would have answered you that way. Yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in George Washington. I believe in Abraham Lincoln. Julius Caesar. Other people of history. Simply giving mental assent to an historical figure. But that word believeth, and maybe we pointed it out this past week, I'm not sure. Maybe it was in the Bible school. In John chapter 2 and verse 24, we read the word commit. Jesus did not commit himself to those of that day, for he knew what was in the heart of all men. He did not commit himself to them. That word commit is the same word believeth in John 3:16. You see, I can believe that a taxi will take me somewhere. I can believe that, but to go somewhere, I'm going to have to get in the taxi. I'm going to have to commit myself to it. I can believe that the escalator in the department store will take me up or down. I can believe that, but I have to get on it. I have to commit myself to it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So where are you? You must answer that question. Then when we think of the New Testament question, where is he? Where is Christ? And the way in which you answer both of these questions, I repeat, will determine whether or not you're taking out of one column and placed into the other. Where is Christ? Well, you would say he's in the manger of humiliation at his incarnation. He's in the wilderness of temptation at his testing. He's in the will of God the Father engaged in miraculous ministry during his virtuous life. But now if you're able to say, he's on the cross being made a curse for us, for me, in and through his death. Where is he? I see it now. He was on the cross. And he died. He shed his blood as the Lamb of God, as my substitute. He paid the sin debt. And when I receive him as my Savior, it's reckoned over to me. Where is he? He's now outside the tomb of death. He was raised bodily from the dead. Where is Christ? I see now. He's in the glory. He's a living Savior. He lives to die no more. And he ever lives to make intercession for his own. Where is he? He's on the throne in exaltation and acceptance with his Father. Where will he be? On the throne of David, ruling in righteousness when he comes back to this earth. So, where are you? Now, if you would have to say, well, yes, I have to confess to all that you've read and considered from the Word of God. I'm still in the one column. I'm still in Adam. I'm still unsaved. And I realize it's not by anything that I do I'm without strength. It's by receiving God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And by receiving Christ, my dear friend, by answering the question correctly, where is he? And when you're able to say, I see it now. He was upon the cross for me. And now he's in the glory. And I receive him as my Savior. When you do that, you be taken from the place of waywardness to the place of nearness. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, we draw nigh to God because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. In and through his death, we draw nigh to God, all distance removed. You're taken from the place of weakness and put into the place of strength, so that as a Christian you can say, quoting the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You're taken from the place of worthlessness into the place of preciousness. So much so that we can say with Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, I'm accepted in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. You're taken from that place of wretchedness and put into that place of blessing, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1 and 3. You're taken from that place of wrath and made a son, a child of God, so that you're able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Oh, would to God you're able to say, now I am in Christ. My friend, if you cannot say that, I pray that you will receive Christ as your Savior. Let's open our songbooks to number 337. You don't see the words over this song or under this song in the red book, but the old blue book, you'll find the words that this song was written by a man who was an atheist, who finally came to the end of himself and was made to realize that he needed to be in Christ.